It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What it is, welcome to the Wise Men. Joining me today, and we have some structured rules because we are on the eve or the breaking. The next time that you will hear from us, one of us will be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Title fight!
So tonight,
oh man,
tonight it's Sunday tonight.
Yes.
Out of respect for the show and out of respect for each other, Trevor and I talk privately. We will not get into stuff at the end. Aaron and Ego and Kevin in the spirit of good taste, if you guys want to talk about it, that's fine. But at the same time, we do have the show is doing well. I don't want to jeopardize it. Trevor agrees. We both
100%.
We both feel the way we feel. Neither one of us is coming to lose. So let's do the show. And then at the end, Aaron, you can – have, because you're going to make your prediction. So at the end of the show, Mr. Stir the Pot one, right? Is going to make his prediction. Yeah, so he will be the tiebreaker. So, all right, man. So technology on the road. Aaron said that gave me a pretty good compliment before. So I had all the gadgets. I think Aaron describes it best. But everyone here pretty much had to, because a lot of your life is on the road. You know, you talk to your wife, your girlfriend, your kids from a car, basically. You don't really have time.
You want that life as easy as possible.
Yes.
Yeah, well, 5 days a week, people don't understand.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's 5 days a week. I remember telling a significant other of mine that I started to feel more comfortable and slept better in a Holiday Inn than my own house. So, yeah, I mean, it's right.
So our listeners, I just want to kind of like set the stage. I know we just talked about this, but when I was traveling with Tyrus, every week on Friday, we would have a routine. Santina would get in the driver's seat. I would get in the back, of course. And Tyrus would get in the passenger seat and then whip out this giant ball of chargers, cords, adapters, whatever. Plug an auxiliary adapter into one of the outlets that had three other start charging stuff. We'd have our playlist, but there was always a new thing. I mean, the projector from the iPad that we were watching a movie on the ceiling once, he had cords that like, and this was again, 2013-ish, like,
yeah,
that you could see the thing charging. Like there were light up cords that you saw, like the actual like energy going into the phone. There were so many trips to Best Buy. I mean, I'm not kidding. I was at Best Buy at least twice a week. And that was thanks to our good friend Tyrus.
Yeah, and Best Buy was my favorite place.
If there was ever a question about technology, you could always go to him. He was, in my opinion, and actually in the opinion of everyone on the road at the time, the standard for what's going on and what's up next. What's the next big thing? So there you go.
Yeah, it was my obsession with movies, because if it was up to me, I for a while I used to hit movies and it was like Jim, Waffle House movie on House Show. I would try to catch a flick. And a lot of times you just couldn't do that, and you couldn't sacrifice, if you wanted to keep your job anyways, you couldn't sacrifice the gym. The movie would have to wait, so you have to get all my movies online. I didn't like to wait.
With my crew, I don't remember if you guys remember this, but the early 2000s, there were no maps on your cell phone, and I was one of the only ones to have the portable GPS Garmin's turn-by-turn directions that you would stick
big block.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a block of cheese almost.
I remember that
almost.
Yep.
How quick did those come and go?
Smartphones, man. Smartphones killed it. Once they put the maps on the smartphones, it was done.
I remember trying to get to a house show in FCW with a Garmin, and it got to the point where I had to rip it out of the wherever it was, a suction to the window, and I threw it out on the side of the road, because for some reason it would never, it got me like 15 minutes from the direction. And I remember, like in FCW, you're looking for addresses that aren't, you know, different.
Yeah. Whole, it's a field.
You're looking for a, you know,
a field.
Used our parking lot at times.
Yeah, no, it was a used, what was it, a car racing place? With like
PPC auto sales.
Yes.
I remember I kept showing up late and late when I would leave on time, and I would never get there on time. And at one point, I just took the Garmin and I just threw it away. And I just started stopping at gas stations. But then the iPhone, right, corrected all of that, I guess.
So how do you think the guys before us, who literally had maps, would listen to us complain right now? What would they how many epitaphs would we get called?
I still remember the big atlases. I remember bringing the big atlas on the road, and that's how you found your way to the show. That's a shoot. You guys remember MapQuest?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know how many of you guys. I would print it out on on your computer printer, and then that you would follow that MapQuest to a T.
This is a great question for like someone that can articulate it, not Austin Idol. How the hell did they get from town to town? Was it just buying the map at the gas station and following I-55 to whatever? Wow.
I would,
from Harley's experience, that's pretty much what it was. Like, he used to show us some of the maps that he had kept throughout the years, and that was his gimmick. Like, he would go find the town, but a lot of those guys would go to the same town so much that they stopped needing maps. Like, they knew what highway,
like territories and stuff. You knew what, you get in the circuit. But nowadays, though, you go once and all of a sudden, like, I need the map again. I got to hit my GPS. Like, we don't memorize the turns. We just memorize the little blue signal. Turn here, turn there. Like, I think it was better. I know I had a better scope of what was going on when I was looking at maps, because you'd be like, oh, there's a, like, when every time you go to Boston, you always try to make sure you made it to where you go by Calhoun's. So you'd be like, oh, hey, you know what? We got to take this one so we can stop at Calhoun's. And I know there's a gym there, and there's a Red Roof Inn that gives a discount. Like, you were a part of the, like, it was, you were more part of the road, I think, with maps.
Sure.
And hunches. Hey.
Well, I've always told time and navigated by the sun. So, I really don't have those problems.
But man?
He just say he navigates
listen,
by the sun?
Listen. Aaron belongs to...
How do you navigate by the sun when you wake night. Up at 11 in the afternoon?
Thank you. Thank you, Trevor.
When you wake up at 11 a.m., the sun's almost half gone.
This dude...
So let's be realistic.
He belongs to every secret society known to man. He does. He does.
No, I don't.
Aaron, if the sun is on your left, you're good driving west, right? Is that how it's done, or is it east?
Wait for the answer. Wait for the answer.
It depends on what part of the world you're in. You're
See?
In northern hemisphere.
Oh, my God. Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Wherever you are. Aaron's the guy that licks his finger. And then wants to know which way the wind's blowing. Oh, that's the direction we should go.
Yeah, as soon as you get there.
Well, if you're on a boat, if you're on a boat or a motorcycle, you have to do that because you have to kind of, factor in the wind. But also, I'd like to say this. We're talking about how smartphones and everything. In my opinion, we were really the last generation. Like, I remember, you said early 2000s. And, thank God there were no camera phones back then.
None of us would be here.
Yeah.
None of us.
I doubt I'd be married, bro, if my wife knew the things I did before I met my wife.
And that's not like other women. That's just dumb did on the
debauchery.
Road.
Debauchery. Yeah. Debauchery, boys. I mean, just
bar fights for the hell of it.
Comfortable telling you.
Yeah.
My wife's like, why? Who did I marry and why did I marry you?
You know, I mean, ribs, if ribs ever had a tell-all, Aaron, like how we'd make him run as fast as he could
and
time him.
Oh, my God. They're horrible. Or Stewart from Waffle House.
Yeah. Well, we could have, he should have been canceled. But, that guy was like he was like a biscuit away from 500. And, but he would purposely mess up, and there was no room in the Waffle House for him to turn around. This is how big. I'm a big motherfucker, and I'm telling you, this is a big motherfucker. And he couldn't turn around, and he would purposely mess up your meal so he could eat it. Yeah.
That's deep psychology there.
Me, Tyrus, and Tenzai. We're at this Waffle House. It was somewhere like Kansas City, I think, right? Somewhere like that. And we were at the counter. I hated sitting at the counter, but they wanted to. And Stewart was the cook.
You know how we'd look sitting in a booth, like all of us just sitting in a goddamn booth together?
Oh, because you guys know you're shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, and Tenzi, I had enough time, had a hard enough time just tagging with me, let alone sitting next to me.
Like, Tyrus kindly asked, goes, hey, and this was to the waitress, hey, do you do egg whites? And then the waitress turned to Stuart, who, by the way, was like 3 feet away from us.
Yes.
Goes, Stuart, do I do egg whites? And he looked at the waitress and said, huh. I can do them, but they're going to pay for them.
Yeah. Because apparently he had to walk to the fridge and get the egg white carton. So, you know, it wasn't like he was taking the yolks out. You know, but
right, I was going to say, we had a similar Waffle House incident. But
well, yeah, what he ended up doing is he put yolks in there and cheese and and like made it his favorite way, and then say, here you go. And I say, hey man, it's got cheese. And then he's like, well, I'll take it. It's my mistake. Ha ha. And like went in the office and ate it in seconds. And literally, that's how he did it.
And happened was like he had screwed up my waffle, right? He goes, are you guys done? Now I'm going on my break. He went just like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then as he walked away, I leaned to Aaron and I said, "You know, he pisses in a water bottle at night in his bed. He ain't getting up. Like this is who this dude is. This is who this guy is. Like he was awful."
One of the funniest things I've ever heard. Because if you saw this guy, you'd know that Tyrus was right.
And yeah, he doesn't do. He's not in a rush to do anything. But he literally, and then the poor waitress who was emaciated. Everyone else. Here's the deal. He had the lock on the food so much that all the other workers there were hungry because this mother. Was eating up all the food. Eating up all the food. And she basically said he does that all the time. Like, that's what he does. He messes up a meal because he gets hungry. When people order food, he gets hungry. So, like,
he started that job at, like, 2:05.
Oh, yeah, he walked in there a buck 85 with the world, and the next thing you know, he was... And then he got to the point where he had ascended to the point of management, and he's like, now I rule the world. So...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
he got his hash brown smothered in chunk.
Added everything to it. And I was like, man, I didn't ask for this. Well, I'll take it. Like, he was just like, and it got to the point, like, the second time he f***ed it up, I was like, you know what? This is good. And I could see by the sweat on his forehead that he was upset. He was like, I'll make another one. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. Nah, I'm good. I'm going to keep it. And he was just like, like, now I have to wait another 17 minutes to eat. Like, this dude was brutal. He loved his food. And as a guy who's been in love with food a time or two in my life, I got it, but not to the level of which he would aggressively take other people's meals. But he was so happy in his little office eating it. And he didn't even use utensils. It was just hands, just eating it as fast as he could. Yeah, and then he came back out with food stains all over his shirt. It was either sweat stains or like food stains. Like the dude, he drank, instead of a glass of water, he had a glass of syrup. Like this dude did not f around. We'll be back with much more after this.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Was this when you guys were in Tampa? Where was
This was we're on the road. This was when it was tons of funk, and it was I think Aaron was supposed to be riding with Cody, but I think he was ready to kill Cody at that point. And Tenzi and I think Tenzi was ready to kill me at that point. So we ended up just kind of like crossing ships in the night. You know, like tag teams, it's either like a love affair. Like
that's certainly how it works, right?
Yeah, it's either a love affair or one guy hates the other guy to death. And I think Tenzi just couldn't stand me. For whatever reason, he just didn't like me. And it would just...
Well, remember the barbecue?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was just, it was little things.
Whoa,
it was,
no,
it
wait
was
a minute,
things.
Whoa, yeah. You got to tell that story. Over.
You are not going to say, remember this and laugh.
He didn't dislike me, the person, because he didn't get an opportunity to know me. He didn't like Brodus Bitter Clay, who hated everybody, because that was a lot. He had a lot to deal with. He had a lot of residual heat that he had to deal with because my attitude was so to be fair, when I wasn't outside the ring, we got along fine. He had been through more than I had ever been. He had been through every attitude error. He had every gimmick, good, bad, or indifferent. And I had a problem with everything. So that's why he was like, I got to get away from this mother. So let's just, looking back on it, that I don't think he hates me as a person because he never really got the chance to know me. He just got to know the guy who was like walking every day, look at the board and go, this is some bullshit. You know, I'll take the heat. Who cares? And I'll take the finish. You know, that was my attitude. But,
by the way.
Yeah, that was the very, but Aaron loved that guy. That was Aaron's favorite person. Like, he got a kick out of it.
You were at your worst and full of misery, and he's like, that's my guy. That's my dude.
Aaron,
that's my,
he would run up to me
right there.
Trevor, he would run up to me like a schoolgirl, like, hey, what's the name? Said, have a nice day. And then, like, what's good about it? Like, that guy. He's, you know, he, everyone loves this guy. Well, I hate him. Why? Because everyone likes him. So clearly he's friends to no one. He has no allegiance. Don't trust him. Stay away from him. And he'd be like, ha ha. And he'd like run back and like, told you, Boris. Told you. He hates everyone. You know, and like, he just loved it.
Again, the quote, anyone that has a problem with no one has a problem with me.
Yeah. Because you don't pick sides.
No one has a problem with has a problem with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You can't
this
be everybody's friend.
This is why he loves stirring the pot.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why he loves stirring the pot, and he won't make a decision.
Yeah.
Well, no. We're going to have a decision, but this barbecue, this was somewhere in Pennsylvania. We were staying at Tenzai's friend's house that he played football with. So they were
football very coaching. Close.
A very, very nice family. You know, the grandparents lived in like a separate spot in the house, like a separate wing. There was also a pool house and a guest house. We pulled up, I think it was around like 1 a.m, right? It was ungodly late. We all get out, never met this person before, okay? Obviously, Matt has, but Tyrus and I, we don't know who this guy is. We get out and grab our bags and go, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. One of you can sleep in the pool house, one of you can sleep in the house. Tyrus grabs his bags and goes, well, guess I know where I'm sleeping, and walks his ass in the pool house. Didn't say hi to the man, nothing. Nothing. And then reemerged the next day. We went to a baseball coach session, wherever it was. He told the kids that not everyone's an athlete. You're not going to.
You're the Grinch, bro. You're the Grinch.
Hey, sometimes tough love is true, man. Like,
Hold on. A barbecue.
I just assumed everyone was racist too at the time. So who do you think you're gonna ask to sleep in the bathhouse? The brother. So let's just cut the middleman out. I'm going to the pool house. You guys go ahead. And I just went in there, you know, and Aaron picked up on it right away, and he was just so happy about it. He's like, he's so miserable. You know, and then he doesn't like anyone. You know, and so Aaron became my angry interpreter. Like, it's not you, it's just he didn't always like this, you know. I was like a prize horse everyone used to want to bet on, and now something happened and I won't leave the barn. Yeah. And Aaron's the guy saying, well, you know, like, he's not that bad. And then I just didn't feel like you know, everyone's telling the kids how great they were. And like, I'm looking at these guys and I'm like, listen, man, not all of us can, you know, the sun doesn't shine on all of us.
Some broke some little kid's heart.
Or told them the truth. You're a foot short for your age. You're cross-eyed. You're a foot short for your age.
I just
get used to disappointment.
Horrible.
You're not hitting a curveball, kid. You're not hitting a curveball. Like, just move on. Some of us got to be spectators too.
8-year-olds' hearts. They're just.
I blame the parents. I blame the parents.
So you go to the barbecue, and then what happens?
Oh, I was just, everyone kept like coming over to try to talk to me, but they would go to Aaron first, and Aaron would be like, look over, like, yeah, I think it's safe to talk to him. Go ahead. You know, and then.
That did happen, but there was about 50 people there. Right?
Yeah.
Did you say?
But there was an honest mistake made, and Aaron witnessed it. So this sweet elderly lady, it's summertime, it's hot, and for breakfast, she brought me a plate of watermelon. And she brought it to everybody, but then she brought it to me. And I looked at it and looked at her and I was like, oh, hell no. And Aaron's like, ha ha. Like, she was just like, well, it's hot. I thought you would like some. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then she's like, how many do you want? And I said, just leave the whole plate.
here's what also, while this was going on. So, Tyrus decided to have a seat, and he got the prime real estate. It was like under like this easement, and there was like a little pit in the middle that you could put your, you know, it was like one of those fire pits that were elevated, so you could use it as a table. He had the spot. There was another guy, the family's lawyer, who he was a large man, And he sat right next to Tyrus and was trying to make conversation with him the whole evening. And Tyrus wasn't having it. And it was such a wonderful thing to watch. Like, he thought there was some kind of...
At one point, I leaned over the guy and I just said, you're too big for both of us to be sitting on this little ass bench together. So why don't you... It's nothing personal, man, but you need to go over there and, like, average it out. Like, you need to...
It's too, like when the big guy sits next to you on the airplane.
Yeah, we look like the two guys in Oh Brother were out there. They were sitting on that little ass couch talking about, oh, it was a hell of a dude. It was a hell of a campaign. I was like, we too big. Your elbow's touching my elbows. Like, go over there. And I don't care about your life story. I don't care about the girl that got away. You know, I don't care. Like, I'm just here waiting for Aaron and Tenzai to get done with this. So we can get in the car, go drive downtown somewhere, job out to somebody, and then go home and get a paycheck. That's what's on my agenda today. So we could just smooth this along. Like, I'm hearing out your mouth is want something. You like ribs? Phenomenal. Leave me alone.
That's what they don't understand. Sometimes it's like day 75. Right?
Yeah.
On the road, it's you know, or Dave, and it's your fifth different town or whatever that week, and it's like, okay, well, I love you too,
you know. And we had like ongoing jokes and stuff, and you know, Tenzai and Aaron, every town we'd go in, somehow they'd slide an orange soda in my wherever I'm at.
That still happens. That still happens in the NWA.
It still
locker
happens
room.
In them. And who's in the NWA locker room?
I you know, there's a guy named Aaron.
Yeah.
That
but here's the thing. That was. One of the, like, it was an odd, like, if someone from the outside saw that, they would be like, oh, that's, you know, that's, it's not. Because it was something that was done as a peace offering. And because they, here's the cool part. My I love orange soda. And when I'm dieting, it's like a sweet treat. And Aaron got me an orange soda one time, and I was just being a dick that day and said, that's racist. You can't give me that. And he was like, what? And I think Santino was there. He was like, yeah, you can't do that. You can't give a brother orange soda. If he asked for one, then fine. But you just can't give him. You can't assume that he likes orange soda. And I was, you know, and so, and then it became a thing where wherever I would go, magically an orange soda would appear. And I would laugh it off because it was his way of saying, relax, man. Like, chill out. We're all friends here. And so it's kind of been a thing. And then I think that was one of the things that bonded us too. If you can make jokes when somebody's in a bad mood about stuff that really doesn't matter, you just have a better relationship. So it's like an ongoing thing. And then I got to the point where I expected it. I come back from a match, and if there's not one in my locker room, I'm like, where's it at? Like, you know, but
he with you,
but Aaron will never admit it's him. He'll never admit it. It's just, you know, it's just ironic that it surfaced at the NWA.
Well, that's the thing. Cause I actually love orange soda too. And in my opinion, Sunkist is by far the best. On a hot day, there is nothing more refreshing than Sunkist in a Dixie cup with ice. And I stand by that.
I do enjoy a little Sunkist myself. It is a sweet treat.
Nothing wrong with orange soda.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, like, that's the thing.
Sponsorship, ad revenue.
Yeah, we could easily outdo those Fanta girls. We could,
oh, for
you
sure.
Know,
oh, yeah. Oh my God! If we go with Sunkist, you kidding me?
Yep, we can just do all the flavors. I'm claiming orange. Just grape would probably be the most popular. It's grape, strawberry, pineapple. You guys got to pick one. Ego.
Yeah, is there a lemonade? Yep.
Is there a lemon,
Robert?
There should be.
Is there a lemonade soda?
If not, there should be.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Well, what flavor would you be, Aaron?
Fruit punch.
Well.
Did I say that out loud? It was in my brain, boys. I am so sorry. It was in my brain that just popped out.
Trevor, Trevor, you're right, because I do enjoy a non-carbonated sweet treat, and I think the carbonation gets to me.
Yes.
So, yes, I would gladly represent the fruit punch.
All right, A-Rye. What flavor is A-Rye?
I'm going to go with the lemonade. Lemonade soda?
All right.
Do they do that?
I don't know. I think it's called Sprite.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah.
Fresca.
Hey, Fresca. That's that high end diet drink. That's for the high end guys. That's pinkies up. Ego, you're being quiet, man. What strawberry? What flavor does Ego want? Or did he get kidnapped?
I think we're having some connection issues.
Okay, since he can't defend himself, he's Strawberry.
There we go.
Which, by the way, the last flavored.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I figured you would. You like the color red. The last flavored soda conversation we're going to have is, and I also messed with him one time at a Whataburger in Texas. I filled up. We get to Whataburger. We get to Whataburger, and he watches me, and I know sometimes like he's always walking on eggshells, but that's his way of like trying to like he wants to understand my cultural differences so much that it's annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I fill up a thing of orange soda, and then I poured some out, and he was like, "Now I poured some out because it was a big cup and it was too much, but I poured some out." He's like, "Well, why did you pour some out?" And I said, "For the homies," and he was like, "Oh my God, did somebody die?" I was like, "Yeah, you always pour something out for the homies." And he just literally just went like, "My God." So then every time we'd go somewhere, he would stop whatever he's doing and be like, "Pour something out," and be like, "For the homies." And I was just like,
"I mean, why not? You know?"
But it was just a general, it was just a general trying to understand. Like trying to find common ground with one of the most bitter human beings on the planet. Like, and I think, Trevor, you didn't know, we didn't really, I mean, we knew of each other then, but we didn't really know each other then. And Ego was kind of with me when I was still bright eyed and like was excited about the future wrestler. But
I missed the angry Tyrus.
Yeah.
I only knew the good one.
Yeah. So,
because of this, I now know how to survive in South Central.
Yes.
A place where busting a chop is fundamental.
See, he would listen to my music, and he would listen to me argue on the phone, and he was getting a hood lesson by fire. He was like, and he ended up using it. He ended up using some of it as a character. He was doing this one character where he was wearing a beanie and be like, "No, I'm saying," and he was doing all stuff, but he was doing it so well because he was mimicking behaviors he had seen from me. So it was hard to get mad at him because he was killing it. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Well, and we should be thankful that more people like that should be like him, man. You know, this world might be a little better place.
Yeah, I mean, if you can make fun of it.
We just had a little understanding of each other.
Yeah, because I couldn't here's the thing. I couldn't stay mad with Aaron around me because Aaron would do some shit to make me laugh. And he would do some, like he would try. He would always come across like that nice church lady who's trying to understand the hood. You know what I'm saying?
Everything's with innocence, but out of place.
Yeah, yeah. He's just, and like he would lean in sometimes like, "Yo, is that dude perpetrating?" I'm like, "Oh man, stop. Please just."
He said perpetrating. Oh, just the widest thing I've ever heard.
And I promised him the West Coast is my priority t-shirt. Snoop was made honorary president of Priority Records. And there was a bunch of shirts in a box, and I got a few of them. And I wore one time in a, I think it was, we had a, I think we had a bull rope match, me and Wyndham or somebody. I was feuding with the Wyndhams, me and Tavita against the Wyndhams, and we had a bull rope match. And I had the West Coast my priority, and he was like, "Oh my God, like the West Coast's your priority. That's your rap thing." And I was like, "Yeah, it's stupid." And he's like, what can I do to, you know, get a shirt?" I said, "You got to earn one." And then eventually I made it sound like it was this coming of age thing. I was like, "You got one, homie, you got one coming." And he literally was like, every week I'd see him at TV, he was looking for his West Coast is my priority. But again, I was an ass at the time. So I kind of, and then eventually I don't even know what happened to the box of them. I had them somewhere. There's probably still in storage somewhere, but he still got that shirt coming. But he was just fascinated.
You know what? I lived on the West Coast long enough. I don't need it.
Yeah, he's seen it.
I shouldn't say the entire West Coast. Let's just Cali.
Santa Monica isn't quite what I was talking about, but it's all good. It's all good.
That's fine. But yes,
when did you and Aaron became friends? Because he wasn't with us in developmental. When did you guys
actually? What happened was when I got let go the first time. I had met Aaron briefly when he was idle and he had blonde hair. I think it was on the road. I think it was on the road.
When I met Idol.
Yeah, too. It was very brief. I think we shook hands. I watched his tag match. I just said I thought it was a good match or whatever. And that was it. And then what happened was, is then, of course, then I got released a little shortly. Maybe it was the same time you did, or maybe right after. I don't know. It might have been, it was Ego, and then it was me shortly after that. It got released. And then when I came back, Aaron had just come to FCW, and we were sitting in the "you're here to enhance guys" section of FCW.
You were the first guy I saw when I walked in, actually. I walked in there, and you were the first guy. You're like, "Hey, we sit over there."
Yeah.
And we didn't know each other really, but I was like, "Oh, okay, cool," because it was our second time around.
Yeah. So it was like I said the previously fired crew's over here. So, you know, because the first one's your worst one. So, and then it just kind of, and it was like the same thing where we were both kind of like, we brought you back, but, you know, you're just here to get these guys ready. And if you happen to make it to TV, phenomenal. If not, you know, you're both basically Bull Durham, you know. So
what a great feeling to have.
Yeah. Like, it was straight said to my face, you know, as soon as I came in, like, "Hey, I don't think you're going to get the TV. You're here to get the other big guys going because you can work a little bit." Yeah. But, you know, I don't
we
like
see it. No value in you, but go out and kill
yeah.
it.
Well, and I just thought, well, you, thank God you didn't do the hiring. So, you know,
right.
And, you know, then you just, and Aaron was known for being a worker. So, you know, he came in and they, you know, he started doing his thing and they just eventually couldn't contain him. But I mean, he was put with a lot of guys who were rough around the edges and he found a way to smooth them out. I think probably the guy who benefited the most from working with Aaron would be Titus O'Neil, because Titus was kind of all over the place and a little unsafe in the ring, just kind of all over the place. And the psychology was overhyped for everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just was hyped for everything. He just went a million miles an hour, didn't know how to slow down. And I think once Aaron showed him that pace, things, you know, obviously he ended up with a hell of a career. I think he's still with him, actually. I think he's still part of the WWE.
Oh, yeah. He's a huge brand ambassador for them.
Yeah. So
good for him.
Yeah. So, you know, but a lot of that came from when he was tagged. And they became tag. You guys were tag champs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I tell you what, Titus and I, because when they wanted to put us together, they were like, "Why?" Because we never said more than hi.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had the discussion. He's like, "All right. You know, Johnny asked me if I had a problem with you. I said, no, I don't think he has a problem with me. And, you know, all right, whatever. Let's go." And I just said, "Hey, man, I just want you to know that my ass is on the line too. I am not going to tell you to do anything. I'm not going to suggest that you do anything. And I'm not going to let anything happen that is going to make you look bad. Like, my job is to make you look good. I'll take care of myself." And you know what? He trusted me, rode to a few shows together.
Good for you.
Yeah, man.
Chase and I, like, I will put that on. Like, we were that, like, that random tag team. And we had some good matches. I mean, I will say that, like, and I don't say that very often, but, like, I was really happy with some of our work that we had done. And you know what, like, for him to go and have the career he's had, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, admired, like, people that did, like, what you did. Because I remember Titus, and not because he was at that stage of his career, not many people would work with him. Right, but I mean, that's awesome. That
it's kind of like when PJ did with
that
you.
Football.
Yeah, well,
did he fall into that football?
Yeah,
you remember we were talking at the last.
Yeah. He got put in that thing where, you know, and he got put in the football thing, and you know, a lot of times guys who didn't come up from
the
indies,
because he's an athlete.
His football days are over, so he's trying to come get a quick buck from here without even like talking to him or getting to know him. You know, they just kind of do that, and you know, and anytime a brother comes in, we're always happy to see each other because it's not always a lot of us. So,
hey Aaron. I want to ask you a question. So during this time where you were doing all this and telling him, you know, "I'm going to take care of you," where were you at mentally? Because we talked about how you met Tyrus. The first time I saw you was I was an extra and they were bringing you on the road with Casey James. So you went through all of this stuff. You went through all this stuff. And then finally now you're at FCW, like, a million different developmental stints. Like, were you angry? Were you like, "Listen, this might be my shot on the road full time"? Like, where were you at in your career wise when all this is happening? Like, you mentally, know,
I was very much kind of in the moment to where, like, one thing Puerto Rico taught me how to do was just relax and, like, because it's different, right? Developmental, that check's always there. You have a job until they release you, whatever. When you're in Puerto Rico, if you're not pulling your weight, you go home. Yeah. And, you know, I got to stay there for a year and a half straight, which really a lot of mainlanders don't do. And it was, I stayed there until WWE called me back. But like what I learned there was you literally just take things one day at a time. And if you don't like what's going on, you know, you can do it tomorrow. And in terms of the ring work, right. And I should have probably paid more attention to the, you know, how to kind of stay on top of it in terms of the booking. I always kind of expected, you know, I'll perform, you'll see that, you'll take care of me.
Who was on top while you were down there?
It was like Glamour Boy Shane. Like I got to do a lot of feuds with him, Glamour Boy Shane, Rey Gonzalez, you know, but then there was all the guys like Invader was there, Chicky Starr. It was a really good thing. Carino was there, Steve Carino.
Oh, right on.
So yeah, it was pretty good. And, I enjoyed it, man. And that's the thing too, about like, you're talking about like football players, whatever, however you get there, who cares? This is the task at hand. You know, I know Trevor, you and I had a similar conversation about how Tyrus was a football guy and, you know, and this was a while ago, but like you said, like, did he just do this to get a check? And I said, no, he really does love it. And I was glad that I got to kind of smooth that over. And,
that was because of, you know, how the horse rumor mill goes around with WWE, and all it takes is one person seeing you as a threat and they proceed to start running their mouth about you. I don't think that's the culture there anymore.
No,
but that's how it was at one point. You know what I mean? And that's, I think now they look at guys as, all right, we can all come up together. Don't get me wrong. There's competition, but I feel like nowadays when you watch wrestling, it's a group effort, not just one guy.
I always say it went from crab in the it went from a bunch of crabs in a bucket to a bunch of guys in a bucket with a ladder. You know, we all help each other climb out. You know, and then when we fall back in, we're like, "Hey, you're welcome back."
Exactly.
Well, because nowadays it's not about just one guy, right? Like,
no, it can't be. Well, you know, and when it is, it doesn't work. You got to be able to. You got to have a card. You can't There is no more Hogan's and Warriors and stuff. The fans want variety. They want a little bit of this and that. You want top guys. You want to be the where you could have any one of five, six, seven guys could be the champ and nothing would skip a beat.
That makes
your product better, you better. And the only way you get that is if you spend your time stabbing people in the back because you're the only one. When you fall, what's left? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing left. You know, so and everyone around you is when you fall, there'll be no hands coming helping you get up. They'll start. Yep. The only thing you'll see is the back of their feet is they kick dirt on you. So it is. I think it is different. I can't because you hear rumor mills or you hear stuff or whatever. But I just don't pay attention to any of that. You know, I worry about the locker room I'm in, not the one that I was in or the one I'm not in. You know, in our locker room at NWA is pretty cool. We got to get Ego in there sometime. And A-Rod, you need to come check it out.
Man. I'm on my way. Yep.
But that'd okay. Be great. So, one day. All right. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I'm glad it didn't end like last time where it got heated and Trevor hung up and I got pissed.
Actually, when I said Trevor thought you were a football guy, you didn't get mad at all, and I think that's great.
No,
that's very mature, and you know what?
And he had that right of an opinion, you know, but, you know, and when I first met him, it wasn't great. You know, he was going through his and I was like, cousin, and he was like, I ain't got time. I was like, what it is, cousin? I think we're okay. He was just like, hey, whatever, man. It's a gimmick, Briz. Just walked off. And I was like, well, all right. Nice to meet you. You know, because I was bushy tailed and excited. Yeah. You know, when he was. Like, hey, man, I'm just trying not to be in a feud with the Dick brothers right now. So just leave me alone.
And that's a fight. That's a shoot, man. Yeah. Some of the stuff, you know, when you're begging to work with the Highlanders, no offense to those guys.
None.
You know, like, you got to know that it's real bad what they're offering you on the other end. Yeah.
You know what, man? You know Ego, what I mean? Ego has the best laugh. He loves when someone throws a shot. This dude loves shots. Like, he loves shots. He
just
should have been in a bar, man. He loves his shots. But, all right, man, it's getting that time. We're getting to wrap this up. All right, Aaron, you've been running your mouth for weeks. You know, Kevin went with Trevor. Ego went with me. I'm going with me. Obviously, Trevor's going with him. May the best man win. All right, Aaron, you're the tiebreaker.
All right, so here is my prediction for the
What? This is a work, boys. We're getting worked.
Can you hear?
We're getting worked, fellas. Yes.
Can you guys hear me?
No, we can't hear you, Aaron. You know what? I expect no less.
Such a work.
Such a work. Yep. All right, man. Hey, man, best of luck.
I can hear you, Aaron. Go ahead. Now.
He's gone. What a word.
Oh, man. All right, man. It's about that time we start getting our minds right. Next time I see you, cousin, it'll be you and me and about half the planet. So see you then.
Just know, man, whatever the outcome at the end of the day, when business is done, I love you. And it's nothing personal. I don't feel on either one of our ends.
Nope, nothing personal, man. Same to you. All right, man. Thank you, Kevin. Enjoy your vacation.
Yes,
Ego,
sir.
You're going to be in the building?
Yes, sir.
You're going to be around?
I'm going to be there.
All right.
All right.
Big Sunday. See you tonight, boss. Hey, and those of you who haven't got that yet, Fight Network, get that pay-per-view. You're not going to want to miss this one. This has been the Three Wise Men. Enough said.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.